Yo llevaba en la mano un anillo de oro. Lo deslicé en su dedo diminuto y le dije: toma esto. Es para ti y para él. Será mi regalo de bodas.
¿Qué estás diciendo?
Que te puedes casar con él. Solo júrame que cuando yo muera, vendrás en secreto a enterrarme y me pondrás este anillo que usarás hasta ese momento.
Eric. Eric. Mi ángel.
Si Christine cumple su juramento, vendrá pronto.
Tres semanas después, el periódico Le Epoque publica la siguiente nota necrológica. Eric ha muerto. ¿Hay que compadecerlo? ¿Hay que maldecirlo? Si solo pedía ser como los demás, pero era demasiado feo. Tenía un corazón en el que habría cabido un imperio, pero tuvo que contentarse con un sótano. Tuvo que ocultar su genio o jugar con él. Años más tarde, el persa busca y encuentra su esqueleto. No lo reconoce por la fealdad de su cabeza, no. Cuando ha pasado tanto tiempo, todos los muertos son feos. Lo reconoce por el anillo de oro que Christine Daae colocó en su dedo antes de sepultarlo, tal como lo había prometido. Sin duda, Eric, el fantasma de la ópera o el ángel de la música, descansa en paz.
Hemos compartido El fantasma de la ópera de Gastón Leroux, una de mis novelas favoritas. Tuvo el gusto de estar con ustedes, Mario Vargas Llosa.
¿Mito o realidad? El fantasma de la ópera de París. París, cuna de la revolución bohemia de finales del siglo XIX, utiliza como escenario el edificio del Teatro de la Ópera para representar una de las obras más intensas de amor, misterio y terror plasmadas en la novela El fantasma de la ópera, del periodista y escritor francés Gastón Leroux, quien por mucho tiempo se dedicó a investigar los extraños sucesos que ocurrieron en este lugar a finales del siglo XIX.
El fantasma de la ópera existió de verdad. No era, como se creyó por largo tiempo, una criatura producto de la imaginación de los artistas, de la superstición de los empresarios o de la mente impresionable de los empleados. No, era de carne y hueso, aunque tenía todas las características externas de un verdadero fantasma, es decir, de un espectro, señalaría Leroux en su novela.
Tras numerosas investigaciones en la Biblioteca Nacional de la Ópera, se ha encontrado que la soprano Christine Nilsson encaja asombrosamente con las características de la protagonista de la novela, Christine Daae. Ambas interpretaron los mismos papeles operísticos en la ópera Garnier. También fueron protegidas por una institutriz llamada Bellarius y terminaron casándose con un visconde, entre otras coincidencias. En el caso de Eric, el hombre del rostro deforme en la novela, no hubo un personaje como tal, pero sí un hombre que estaba desfigurado y usaba una máscara para no dar miedo, que vivía un amor platónico con una actriz. La famosa lámpara del salón de actos que cayó sobre el público ocurrió realmente en la ópera Garnier, en mayo de 1896, matando a una portera. Este desastre fue ampliamente difundido en todos los periódicos de la época. La pasión de Gastón Leroux por el teatro fue un factor importante para ahondar en los misterios más profundos de la ópera de París, que quedaría inmortalizada con su máxima obra, El fantasma de la ópera, aunque lamentablemente no pudo vivir lo suficiente para disfrutar del éxito de su novela, pues murió en 1927 a la edad de 59 años.
Aún recuerdo aquel día que jugaba en la calle. Era la hora del Ave María. Una música ya me llamó y en el alma me fue penetrando con su dulce son. No podrás estudiar en el conservatorio y tendrás que dejar esos sueños. En tu ayuda de confiar, hijo mío. Así dijo mi padre aquel día que marchaba yo. Quiero hacer del recuerdo un rosario al pasar por el conservatorio y me quedo triste aquí al sentir que me viene a morir en el alma esa música. Un hombre va a donde quiere Dios y siempre llevaré el sueño aquel conmigo dentro de mí. La música te hace vivir, no la has de abandonar.
Aunque ya has muerto todas mis ilusiones, en vez de maldecirte con voz de encono, mis sueños te colmo, mis sueños te colmo de bendiciones. esa pena de tu extravío. Siente el dolor profundo de tu partida. Lloro sin que sepas que el llanto mío tiene lágrimas negras, tiene lágrimas negras como mi vida. Esa pena de tu extravío, siente el dolor profundo de tu partida. Lloro sin que sepas que el llanto mío tiene lágrimas negras como mi vida.
Thank you. Sube conmigo a mar americano, pesa conmigo las piedras secretas, la plata torrencial de Urubamba hace volar el polen a su copa amarilla. Vuela al vacío de la enredadera, la planta penca la guirnalda dura sobre el silencio del cajón cerrado. Thank you.
que la reseca muerte no me encuentre, vacío y solo sin haber hecho lo suficiente. Solo le pido a Dios que lo injusto no me sea indiferente, que no me abofeten la otra mejilla después de que una garra me arañó esta suerte. Solo le pido a Dios que la guerra no me sea indiferente. Es un monstruo grande y pisa fuerte toda la pobre inocencia de la gente. Es un monstruo grande y pisa fuerte toda la pobre inocencia de la gente.
Esto ha sido todo por hoy. Esta ha sido una edición especial de Tiempo Latino. Estuvimos con ustedes en las voces Daniel Lara y Sergio Martínez. Producción técnica, compaginación y selección musical, Rommel Cajavilca. Tiempo Latino estará de regreso el próximo domingo en las ondas de CKUT 90.3 FM. Manténgase en las ondas de CKUT. Nuestro próximo programa de International Radio Report. Tengan todos ustedes un muy feliz domingo.
Latin Time was a Latin American Communications Workshop production. Our team today, Daniel Lara and Sergio Martinez at the mics, and in charge of the technical production, editing and music selection, Rommel Cajavilca. Latin Time will return next Sunday at 9 a.m. on CKUT 90.3 FM. Stay tuned to CKUT, next, the International Radio Report. Have a happy Sunday.
This is George Zeller of Cleveland. Listen to the International Radio Report every Sunday morning at 10:30 on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the International Radio Report on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal. This is our new year show into the year 2021. We thank you for joining us. It is Sunday, January the 3rd, 2021. Don't forget to change your calendars. And how long does it take you before you write the right year on anything you write?
I'm still at messing up UTC from the time change, so imagine.
Yeah, we always, it takes us a little while. The older we get, the longer it takes, too, I find. Anyways, we thank you for joining us. The other voice you heard there was Jill. My name's Sheldon. We are here every Sunday with news and information from the world of radio. We thank you for tuning in. We can be reached by email, radioreport@yahoo.com. And, you know, I'd like to mention something about the email account. We don't get a lot of email. We get more activity on Facebook, but we're kind of curious about just how many people out there are actually listening. Mm-hmm. So if you're a regular listener, if you got 10 seconds, drop us an email, radioreport@yahoo.com, and just let us know you're listening and where you're listening. Just, you know, we don't need your address or anything. Just, you know, your town or your city and state or province or wherever you are. Just let us know. This will be useful for us. It's also useful for CKUT. To know, you know, how many listeners are out there. So if you're a regular listener, whether you've just started listening or you've been listening forever, just drop us a quick note, one-liner, your name, where you're located, and that you listen to the show. So that's radioreport@yahoo.com, and we'll just keep a list of just how many people are out there. Good way to start the new year. Make that your New Year's resolution. Yep. That you're going to send us that little email and tell us that you're out there. If you want to listen to the show, though, of course, on CKUT 90.3 here in Montreal, and we're live streaming. Show is archived as well at ckut.ca. And the Facebook group, which you can continue to participate in or join it if you haven't already, it's International Radio Report on Facebook, and we welcome any new members there as well. So we hope you all had a good holiday period. We're ready to get the new year rolling, and we have a couple special things coming up on the next few shows that you might enjoy. Jill's going to be talking about good choices in radios coming up in a little bit on the show here today, and also what we've sort of think is the product of the year. And we'll keep that in suspense for a few minutes, and we'll talk about that shortly as well. We will, however, get started with a couple stories from the United States. The first one is about the FCC and pirate radio. We thank Paul McLean, writing at Radio World, and Alex Kaminsky for passing the story along. The headline is FCC starts crackdown on pirate radio landlords. The FCC's Enforcement Bureau has begun targeting property owners and managers that tolerate pirate broadcasting on their properties. It started by notifying owners of three properties in Queens and New York City that there was apparent illegal broadcasting happening in their buildings. The Bureau issued an announcement that it is exercising the FCC's new authority under the recent enacted Pirate Act, which gives the Commission a significant new hammer in its anti-pirate toolkit. Parties that knowingly facilitate illegal broadcasting on their property are now liable for fines of up to $2 million. Enforcement Bureau Chief Rosemary Harold said it is unacceptable and plainly illegal under the new law for landlords and property managers to simply opt to ignore pirate radio operations. Once they are aware of these unauthorized broadcasts, they must take steps to stop it from continuing in their buildings or at other sites they own or control. If they don't, she said, they risk a heavy fine followed by collection action in court. In addition, our enforcement actions will be made public, which may create further unforeseen business risks. She emphasized that the FCC and broadcasters have been saying for years that pirate radio is illegal and can interfere with licensed stations, emergency alerting. The Bureau will provide written notice to property owners and managers that it thinks are turning a blind eye to or even helping facilitate illegal broadcasting. It also has created a new policy for illegal pirate radio broadcasting. The notice provides owners with a period of time to remedy the problem before any enforcement action proceeds. They've already sent out three of these, first-class and certified mail, to owners of buildings in Queens that are just actually a few blocks apart. The Bureau said it traced the signal on 105.5, and they give the address, another one on 91.3, address stated again, and a third one on 95.9. They were given 10 days to respond and said that the FCC will consider any response before taking further action. Up to now, it's been chasing the pirate broadcaster themselves. Now they've decided, if you have somebody in your building, and I guess whether you know about it or not, they are threatening to come after the landowners and the property owners.
They are saying that if you kind of know about it, I don't know, it's a difficult one. Of course, you could set up a pirate station and not tell anyone. I mean, the landlord could have no idea that you're broadcasting a pirate. But I do hope that, you know, there is at least that minimum of, well, okay, here's the warning. Your tenant on that apartment is actually doing a pirate station. And the second time, if it ever comes back, okay, there's going to be enforcement. But they are actually cracking down even heavier now. It's like, you know, there was that first part where they decided to attack and to get those pirates out there and actually enforce a lot more the regulations. And now it's, let's also bring all the people around you that, you know, your landlord, or if you are the owner, also they add, you know, the capacity of actually bigger fines and maybe even almost taking away your home.
Yeah, they wrap up the article by saying landlords and property managers may also be found liable if a pirate station ceases operation for some period of time, but later resumes at the same site.
Yep.
So I guess it's, you know, they want you to be aware of who your tenants are and what they're up to. If you see some strange antenna structure pop up on your roof or something's hanging off the balcony and you're not sure what it is, I guess maybe it's up to them now to start paying a little more attention to this sort of thing.
Yep.
So it is kind of strange, though, that they've taken it to that level. And we'll have to see how many landlords they actually end up going after and whether, you know, whether this turns out to be something that they legally can do or not. I guess, you know, there might be some people that challenge it.
I would think so. If I'd be a landlord, if they come and say, hey, here's a fine because you have a tenant that does a pirate station, if I didn't know about it, I won't pay that. I'm going to fight it. It's like, look, I didn't know. I don't have to pay for something that I had no idea.
Yeah, how many of them will say, well, what's a pirate station? You
know? That's the first thing that's going to happen.
Is there some guy walking around my building with an eye patch and a parrot on his shoulder? Or what's going on here? You know. Anyways, could be serious business, though, for these landowners. So they'll have to be very careful of this. Anyways, our other story from the U.S. is also somewhat disturbing. The headline is, it's a story written by Paul Farhi, was appearing in Glenn Hauser's DX Listening Digest. Trump appointee names conservative allies to run Radio Free Europe and the Cuba Broadcast Agency. The Trump appointee, who oversees Voice of America and other federal broadcasting operations, continued an ongoing purge of top leadership by naming two conservative allies to run the two most prominent networks. The new hirings by Michael Pack, the head of the U.S. Agency for Global Media, may turn out to be short-lived and largely symbolic. President-elect Joe Biden's aides have indicated Biden intends to fire Pack when he assumes office on January 20th, although it's not clear how much authority Biden would have to undo Pack's personal decisions. Nevertheless, the two new appointees are Pack allies, expected to carry out his agenda, which critics have said involves turning the networks under his supervision from independent news sources to Trump-boosting propaganda outlets. The day that he named these two people, it was announced that they were a blogger, Ted Lipien, who will be heading Radio Free Europe and Radio Liberty, and former Breitbart and Washington Times writer Jeffrey Scott Shapiro, to run the office of Cuba Broadcasting. They're the people that operate radio and TV Marti. The appointments follow PAC's replacement of the acting director of the Voice of America, Elez Biberaj, who has spent four decades as a journalist at the agency. His replacement was Robert Riley, a former VOA director who has written books strongly critical of Muslims and gays and lesbians. Riley's appointment has raised concerns among congressional Democrats, given VOA's presence in predominantly Muslim countries, and Riley's writings in favor of turning VOA from an international news source into a more direct instrument of U.S. policies. PAC, a veteran documentary filmmaker whose appointment this summer was championed by former Trump campaign chairman and White House advisor Stephen K. Bannon, has shaken up the broadcasting empire he oversees by firing directors and senior managers, investigating one of its most prominent journalists, and asserting the right to breach a statutory firewall designed to shield the network from political influence. Shapiro, an attorney who has worked for the Office of Cuba Broadcasting since 2017, also wrote occasionally about his contempt for the Obama administration for Breitbart, the conservative commentary site formerly run by Bannon. Lipien is a former VOA official who has run a blog called BBG USAGM Watch that is a forum for critical former VOA employees. The blog has repeatedly asserted that VOA's programming favors liberal views. It also reported and commented favorably on PAC's efforts to restructure the operation since he assumed the top job in June. PAC in the last 10 days replaced the leadership of three of the five networks under his control with new managers who are likely to do his bidding. So this is like patronage appointments, basically.
Yeah. He's got. I really hope they can actually reverse a lot of the decisions, and because it will. I mean, come on, the Voice of America and all of these outlets like Radio Free Asia and Radio Free Europe, you know, will become more of a big joke than any serious news outlet or any serious broadcaster with all of these changes. The viewpoints are going to be so shifted that it's going to become almost useless to tune in to these broadcasts to really know what's happening.
It's kind of hard to say at this point how much these people will be able to get done before January the 20th. You know, will there, obviously there's people watching what's going on, but you know, they're going to be in place for about a month, and a lot can be accomplished, I guess, in a month if they come in steamroller in there and start changing all kinds of things around. So be important to watch this and then see what happens once January 20th comes along. I'm sure Biden has this super long list of things that he has to go get people to go look at, where VOA and these services are going to sit on that list. We don't know at this point, but we'll be watching. We'll be listening, I guess, to see what comes out of our radios.
Absolutely. So let's remind everybody of something that I ranted a little bit on my YouTube channel. At the end of this month of January, January 31st, your internet radio might stop working. This is from Mike Terry and via Glenn Hauser's World of Radio. The receiver database is shutting down on January 31st, 2021. If you have an internet radio, it's important to know and to look at the fact, what is the database it's using, or how does it connect to the internet? So your internet radio, like I have a Sanjian WFR20. Also, it is known on the brand name of Roberts, from what I understand also. You know, the Revo Blick, Livio LV001, and a lot of radios sold as Ocean Digital, Grace, and Sea Crane that use this database are just going to stop working because their database is going to be gone. And the only way they can connect to internet streams is by using that database. In the USA, it's reported that Sanjian has announced a deal and offers a alternative to those affected. If you have a picture of the receipt or the serial number of the radio, they're giving a big discount on the WFR28 portable, which is an internet FM USB music player, and they say substantial discount, which whatever that means. So that offer stops or closes on March 31st. And it's sad because, I mean, I've got that WFR-20, which was an expensive purchase, and it's becoming, you know, maybe just a speaker. It's an amplifier with a speaker now for maybe I'll use it for shortwave-related stuff. I don't know. But it's sad because, you know, it stops working, and you purchase these devices at a certain price, and, you know, after a few years, they're gone. They don't, you know, work anymore because some company decides, well, we don't want to handle this anymore. And in this case, it's Qualcomm, because Qualcomm actually purchased the receiver database. And they're the ones saying, well, you know, we're shutting down. That's not useful anymore. It's really sad. Now, let's go into our best and worst of 2020 in shortwave portables.
Everybody at the end of the year, the beginning of the new year's, puts out their top 10, top 20, you know, what have it, whether it's in music or film, whatever. We thought, you know, it'd be a nice idea to talk about radios. So
we did that last year for the first time. So these are not necessarily new radios that were, you know, released this year, but they are radios that are sold that you can purchase right now. In the good receivers, one of the best receivers out there, there are several nice receivers. Portables have come a long way. They are extremely sensitive today and amazing just with their telescopic antennas. So, of course, for price versus performance, the XH Data D808, an amazing receiver with airband, AM, FM, long wave, all of that. And it is great. It is DSP-based, so there's one little negative side to it. There's a little bit of muting in the tuning, but amazing radio. The C-Crane CC Skywave SSB, it's a little expensive compared to the others, but you do have a great radio that also has airband and adds one interesting function. If you go camping, for example, could be very useful. It has the NOAA weather channels. So in the US and Canada, you can actually use it. It even has the weather alert function. So that's a nice feature that we don't really see a lot on shortwave radios. It's also a smaller portable. It's kind of an ultralight, easy to bring out anywhere. In the lowest price performance, RadiWow R108 is nice. It doesn't have single sideband, but it's for the price, a great little portable. Somebody that doesn't want to spend a lot of money and want to have a little pocket radio, the RadiWow R108, and it adds the airband also, which is kind of nice, and it's an AM-FM shortwave receiver. The Texan PL880 is a well-known Texan receiver that everybody enjoys when they have it. It has amazing sound quality, and I will say one thing here is that this year, there's a new radio that came out by Texan, which is the Texan PL990. And there's also the 990X, which is the export version. It's meant to be an upgrade to the Texan PL880, technically. You know what? If you have a Texan PL880 already, it's not, I don't think it's worth it to move on to the 990X, which is more expensive. But if you have the choice between the two, both are great. And if you want to have the added Bluetooth capability, and also the 990X as something we don't see very often, when you plug an external antenna, you actually disconnect also the medium wave antenna that's internal. Most portables, when you plug an external antenna, it's still the ferrite that works internally. So that, for a medium wave DXer or even a long wave DXer, might be a really, really good choice. Of course, the good old Texan PL680, 660, still sold. And I mean, I've had my 680 for at least 5-6 years. And these are great receivers. If you don't like the muting when you tune around, the Texan PL680 and 660 are great because they're more in the PLL analog style receivers, not DSP based. So they don't actually mute when tuning around. And by the way, the PL990X and 880 don't mute also. And I would add for 2021, two radios to look at. One is the Sanjian ATS-909X2 that actually I've seen a few people receive their first versions now. So that will be one to look at, the upgraded version of the venerable Sanjian ATS-909 that became the 909X. Now there's the X2 version, which promises to have even more interesting features. So that will be one to look at for 2021. It's a little expensive, though. And one, if they can work out the bugs, because I have the Chinese version that's a little buggy. But if they fix the bugs, this one will be probably could easily become the best price versus performance and features radio. It's the Texan PL330. It's a small portable, but it packs so many features, including some really precise tuning like the 990X. And it's, you know, about in the $80 range. If they fix the bugs on that radio, it is a killer radio for 2021, I can tell you that. And the negative side of things, because there's always bad stuff out there, the Happy CS-106. Well, you'll be everything but happy if you actually buy this radio. It's a cheap portable. Basically doesn't really get anything, and it overloads easily. Here it overloads on FM stations in Montreal like crazy. The TVDO V115, which is amazing. I don't know how they do it. It's the only $20 radio that has a keypad and can even record your stations on a SD card for $20. It's just incredible. It's a shortwave radio, but unfortunately, it has a lot of background noise. It's like the circuit is giving a lot of interference through the reception, so it doesn't work really that well, unfortunately. The XH Data D38 is a weird radio, which has a old-style red LED numbers for the frequency display, which is kind of very bizarre.
Wow, don't see that very much.
Nope, and it is so wide that if you tune 6,000 kilohertz, you're actually listening to at the same time what's on, for example, 6115. It's like, okay, no, but there's no filters in here. There's no bandwidth setting or something. It's like super wide reception. So it's no good for that. Anything by QFX is crappy. let's just, you know, I started thinking about model numbers, but I was like, they're all crappy, so QFX is a brand to avoid. A lot of the newer sub-$20 radios coming out are rather bad, so they are to avoid, because there are a few sub-$20 radios that are worth it, like the Texan R9012, for example. Very small, cheap analog that is very amazing for what it does. And one that is also not very good, the Anronda HRD737. The interesting aspect of that little portable is that it's a wideband radio. You can listen up to about 180 megahertz on it.
Wow.
So it has VHF 2-meter band, for example, if you want to. It has air band, and it, of course, has shortwave and medium wave. Unfortunately, all of the frequencies you tune, it doesn't perform very well. I've seen some people that live in areas where it's quiet, mentioned that they actually, where they're like rural areas where there's not a lot of transmitters around, say that it performs okay. I suspect that it is possible that my overload of FM stations here is impacting that radio, and that's why it's not working well. But I can't really say, you know, you can't buy this. It doesn't perform well in my tests. And we have a honorable mention, something that is it's been out for a few years now. I have three of them here, and I think it's the product. We can say it was the product of the year last year. It's still the product of the year this year. The famous MLA-30 amplified magnetic loop antenna. It is cheap, around $40 US, and it will, in many cases, bring back shortwave if you've lost that capability due to a lot of noise around you. It's an amazing antenna, and it actually rivals easily the more expensive Wellbrooks and the W6LVP loops that are 10 times the price.
I can attest to that myself. I mean, I had the problems here with, I have a Kenwood R5000 receiver. I could barely turn it on because the noise levels were so bad. I had a long wire outside, just a random wire, and it was just unlistenable, particularly on shortwave. Took your advice, got the MLA-30, threw it together pretty quickly, strapped it to the fence outside in the backyard, plugged it in, and it was like unbelievable. Most of the noise was gone. Signals were jumping out of the radio again. You cannot go wrong with that minor investment in a piece of equipment. Simple, straightforward, easy to use, and performance is just great. It's almost hard to believe that for something that price can work that well.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. So that was the good, bad, and the ugly and shortwave portables.
This is Jeff Eichner of Bloomsburg, Pennsylvania, United States of America. Listen to the International Radio Report every Sunday morning at 10:30 on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal.
And to wrap up today's program, we have our usual listing of upcoming ham radio contests. We have four of them to share with you. These will be coming up next weekend in particular. First one is from Indonesia. We don't hear about much ham radio activity there, but they are having the YB Indonesia DX contest January 9th for 24 hours, 0:00 to 23:59 UTC. It'll be 80 meters through 10 meters. It's SSB, and they want amateurs around the world to contact as many other amateurs in as many different countries as possible, but also to look for Indonesian contesters. Stations that will be on the air. So that's going to be kind of neat. We'll put links up to all of these contests on our Facebook page. From Belgium, we have the Royal Belgian Amateur Radio Union is holding the UBA PSK63 prefix contest. January 9th from 1200 until January the 10th at 11:59 UTC. It's 10 through 80 meters, but PSK63 mode only. So one of the digital contests, for if you're into that sort of thing, you can give that one a try. A fairly good-sized contest, the 2021 North American CUSO Party, sponsored by the National Contest Journal. That is CW only, 160 through 10 meters, and that's January 9th, 1800, to January the 10th, 0600. And finally, the NRAU Baltic contest, January 10th, 6:30 to 8:30 UTC in sideband, and then from 900 to 1100 UTC in CW. They want the objective to be is stations actually to contact each other in Nordic and Baltic countries. So it's more of a geographic contest, this one. Competition. So there's quite a few Nordic and Baltic ham countries out there, but it will be 80 and 40 meter bands only for that one.
Cool.
So those will be the contests kicking off the new year for you. Hopefully you'll give some of those a shot, see what you can hear. And we'll put up links to all of them on our Facebook page. That is going to do it for our first show of 2021. A reminder, we do ask if you have a moment, just drop us an email. radioreport@yahoo.com. Let us know you're listening. If you want to comment on the show, what you like, what you don't like at the same time, that's fine. But really, we'd just kind of like to hear and hear from you, see how many of you are out there tuning in every week. So that's radioreport@yahoo.com. Have a great week, everybody. We'll talk to you next week for the next edition of the International Radio Report on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal.
Bye-bye.
Directions on how to use your radio. Find the power button. Turn it to on. Turn the knob to CKUT 90.3 FM. Relax and enjoy.
To slow the spread of the virus, we need to press pause again. That's why, once more, we need to stay home and avoid all non-essential travel. Gatherings are prohibited in red zones and are to be avoided in orange zones. And it's important to keep following the everyday health measures. Let's press pause again to curb the spread. Learn more at quebec.ca/coronavirus. Let's continue to protect ourselves properly. A message from the Gouvernement du Québec.